And welcome back, hour number two. And we're going to go across the Pacific now, at least halfway to Hawaii, and say hello to Joseph Gill. Joseph is a scholar with a tremendously amazing, eclectic library of ancient books, wisdom, knowledge, teachings, dealing with ancient religions, symbols, which to this very day dominate our very cultural existence in so many ways. And every time Joe is on, we get into all sorts of interesting conversations. And you're welcome to participate tonight at any time at all. Just call 1-888-ON-RADIO. Hello, Joseph.
Oh, and thank you for having me back again.
You're welcome. Happy holidays.
Well, we're all enjoying the holidays, I hope. It's a time people seem to be willing to be a little bit better to each other and to step a little bit out.
Those people, you just can't trust any old excuse to be nicer to each other, like Christmas.
Well, I enjoy Christmas because I really do think that people are a little nicer to each other, and they'll go out of their way, and at least they'll try and give that appearance.
It's true, and more power to them, but folks, remember, every day is Christmas, and you only go around once, and those of you who have been noticing the incredible, astounding increase in the rate of time passage, shall we say, I must keep that in mind. Every day, live it as if it's your one shot, and do the little things, the little nice, just do one extra little nice thing a day. If everyone did that, think how much more pleasant things might be.
Well, you know, the real origin of Christmas from the very, very beginning is that in early history, most of the civilizations lived north of the equator, and so the celebration of Christmas, which goes back for eons, is the celebration of the rising sun from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere on December 25th. And that's when the sun starts its adventure back north and into our summer, into the planting season.
Sure.
And it's the very beginning, although we're still in the throes of winter, but it's when the sun starts adventure. Is the newly risen Son of God. I mean, God put the sun up there, right? So basically, that's what the root of Christmas is, directed at the sun.
When you look at Christmas with your long and extensive knowledge base, going way back to the origins of it through almost prehistory, for that matter, and see what it's become now in terms of crass commercialism, pressure, the onus of gift equality and all the rest. And how do you view it? Where is it going next, Joseph? Do you have any way to draw a perspective and give us any idea?
I have no idea. The only thing I know is most of our traditions are rooted in symbolism, and that is a bit of knowledge that's held by very few. And most people really don't want to get involved with the time that it takes, and they're just interested in the moment. But if you really want to know your history and understand the background of our different civilizations, you have to understand a little bit about symbolism. And once you do, it's really very simple. So I think that the system tries to make things very complex, and in doing so, we lose identity with the simplicity of our background, and that's we're generally sun worshippers and moon worshippers, worshippers of the zodiac, and our own environment, and basically we're just farmers turned to city dwellers.
Yes, now we
and with
we,
Y2K, we might be turning back to becoming farmers again.
Well, that remains to be seen. We will see. Now we're farmers, but we plant an instant harvest in the supermarket as we walk through the aisles. And
well, if Y2K doesn't do anything else, it will make people realize how much they should be dependent upon themselves. And they should always have food, and they should always have an extra. I really enjoy some of the philosophy of the Mormons in that they really think family first. And that's what really, it starts at the bottom of the pyramid and works to the top. And you know, that kind of, this business about Clinton getting impeached or not getting impeached, I think it would be wonderful if he was impeached. And if not for anything other than it would show our children that that we really do value honesty.
Yeah, there is accountability.
Yeah, there is. And I don't remember the name of the Star Trek show, but you remember the Captain James T. Kirk was held up, and he was put up for trial in front of the Klingons, and the president
Klingons.
And the president was given the option of going in there on a clandestine mission to get Captain Kirk out away from the Klingons, and he said, "This president is not above the law."
Mm.
And I thought that really rang home to what's happening right now. We learn all kinds of things about what the politicians do above the law.
Well, the interesting comment about food, I just got a note from Jerry Gaudette today, and she'll be on the show, I believe, on the 20th, Sunday the 20th. And don't miss Jerry. Those of you who have heard her before know that she is one very sharp woman, microbiologist, an expert in food. She knows her stuff. She knows our food supply mechanics better than anyone I've talked to in a long time. She is, of course, making plans, and she urges others to do so. We are seeing now the beginnings of a run on the long-term freeze-dried food preparedness people. There's a story I put up tonight on the website. It'll be the demand for dried food climbs. And one man went to buy some, and he found that, gee, he'd have to wait 6-8 weeks to get his order. Long-term food is a very hot item. There's a boom now in the hitherto small dried food industry. In the past 3 months, we've been doubling sales every month, said Chris Clark of Emergency Essentials, an 11-year-old Utah-based company. By the way, I want to mention, Joe, that my sponsor, PermaPack, which I'm very proud to have on the program, is keeping all orders current. They are not backordering. Some of these companies are 6 months behind.
Well, it could be a self-propagating action if Y2K didn't happen, there are going to be so many people running on the bank and running on the grocery store that it's going to be a critical situation anyway. But I think basically what we need to learn is that anytime we should have a certain amount of food and a certain amount of independence and self-reliance so that we don't depend on the system to take care of us. We've really, really learned how to depend on the system.
Well,
I know here in Hawaii we have an awful lot of people that depend on their checks from the government, and at the same time, 90% of all the fruit in Hawaii falls to the ground and rots.
Is it that high?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can see somebody who grows bananas in their backyard go to the grocery store and buy bananas, and they'll let the bananas on the tree rot. And this happens all the time. And I don't know why it is, but I'm a saver, so I'm always one of those people that go out and get the bananas. And quite frankly, I have 60 different kinds of fruit at my house and 14 mm-hmm. different kinds of bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a little Noah's Ark, so to speak. And I'm ready anytime, not just for Y2K.
What do you see? Look, have we ever in history been so utterly independent in our own ways of taking care of ourselves? This is the most dependent thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's when we live, and that's when it's most evident. But the truth is that throughout history, we've been very dependent upon the system, and we are always given the illusion that we have a certain percentage of freedom. But basically, throughout our history, we have, say, for instance, in the age of feudalism, you weren't allowed to leave the farm. Only the rich people went off to fight in the Crusades. So we were only allowed to marry when we got the okay of the lord of the manor. So our lives were dependent upon, and then most marriages were arranged. So
the divorce rates probably weren't any worse.
Well,
through that technique than they are now.
Yeah, but you didn't get a divorce. You were allowed to.
Being facetious here.
Sure, but it's only. I think it's probably in the first place, marriage is is an invention. And I think that if people don't get along, they should get apart. But marriage and divorce, I think both are pretty much new.
That's an interesting statement.
Right. I mean, you just decide to stay together and you decide to stay, to leave. I was married twice. Both times I was married for 5 years. Now I've lived with a lady here in Hawaii for 9 years, and I've never had such a good relationship, and I'm not married. We have no children. I think marriage is basically for children. We had a big thing on in our last election over here in Hawaii about whether we should have gay marriages or not. And I've had many gay friends, and I'm not gay, but I've had many gay friends. I find them very creative people, very interesting people. But I heard the really good definition of marriage. And marriage is basically for the children, and it's to ensure some sense of security for the children. And when we, when one of the partners decides to raise the children and stay at home, that's when the government says, oh, okay, if you want to stay at home, we'll give you certain benefits for raising a good child. And in those benefits is certain monetary compensation. And that's what we went through here in Hawaii, trying to answer those questions. And the measure did fail, and we upped for traditional marriage.
All right.
I'm on one side or the other.
Yeah. All right, we're going to pause and come right back with Joseph Gill. And you're welcome to call 1-888 on radio. Okay, back and having a conversation with Joe Gill tonight, and you as well, all of you, if you'd like to call in, and let's see where the conversation goes. Margaret is calling in from Salt Lake City, listening on KTKK. Hello, Margaret.
Hello. I'd like to ask your wonderful guest where he lives in Hawaii, on what island, and do they have a water and a food source, like grain and a water treatment plant and all that sort of thing, that's independent of shipping water and grain into the island?
Okay.
I'm still whirling around at the comment of your wonderful guest. Thank you very much.
That's You're welcome.
Very sweet. Anyway, it's really incredible what we've got here, especially at my house, in that this whole area, I live about 34 miles south of Kailua Kona on the west coast of Big Island. And we all live on catchment down here. So the water comes off the roof and goes into a 26,000-gallon corrugated steel with a liner tank, and nobody put any fluoride in my water. You know what the old name for fluoride is?
Probably poison.
It's rat poison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they don't have chlorine. I can decide what I'm going to do with my water, and I'm the steward over my water.
You sure you don't have any black helicopters flying by at night?
Let me tell you, if you had called me this afternoon, I would have probably had trouble hearing you. Because we have, I have more experience with black helicopters than anybody who has ever spoken to you on your show. We have what we call green harvest down here. And so we have the highest prison rate of any place in the world here on Hawaii.
Marijuana.
That is because, that's because the people over here, some of the people grow marijuana. And, you know, it was the biggest crop in the world for 2,000 years. But since it conflicts with industry, then it's, you know, and tonight on the news I noticed that number of major corporations have decided that they're not going to buy paper or pulp or wood products from old-growth lumber anymore, because it's the political thing to do now that they practically destroyed all the lumber that there, you know, the old-growth lumber that there is. It's sort of a gesture. There's only 1 or 2 years left anyway of the old-growth lumber.
But now they can say they are friends of the environment.
Yeah, but here, here in Hawaii, as I said earlier, we've got a lot of people on the social system. But we've got a lot of fruit and vegetables growing around in people's yards, and I think we're going to rediscover that. especially since we depend an awful lot on ships that come from the mainland to bring us our food and hardware and that sort of thing.
Well, you got 90% of the fruit, though, falling from the trees.
Well, that's it. And we don't have to worry about heat. In the mid of winter, I wear a heavy robe.
Oh, well.
And that's what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing a robe. Just the robe around the house, the door's open, it's just getting dark out, and it's just wonderful. And anywhere on the mainland, my main concern with Y2K would be, where's the heat? Because if it gets to be winter there, and you've got no heat, you know, you can live without light, but heat would be pretty quite uncomfortable, and this thing is going to hit right in the middle of winter.
Wood-burning stoves and fireplaces work for a long time.
And I have a wood-burning stove as well.
It must be a decoration in Hawaii.
Well, sometimes it keeps the humidity down, and quite frankly, when you live over here in Hawaii, I've lived here for since 89, your blood does get thinner, believe it or not. I don't know if that's actually what happens, but you do become more susceptible to small changes in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So in the winter, we get cold, but, cold over here constitutes wearing jeans instead of shorts.
Yeah, all right, enough. Margaret is in Salt Lake, and it's cold there.
Sorry for you, Margaret.
Right.
I want to know if you don't get shipping into Hawaii for grain, is there any, on the Big Island, are there any grain crops or things growing that...
Well, what are grains for?
Well, that's a good question, I presume.
I mean, you know, fruit and vegetables, it basically is, I'm a vegetarian. And for me, it's not a religion. It just happens to be a logical thing. They're stuffing our meats of all kinds with all kinds of preservatives. And girls that are 12, 15 years old are getting breast cancer. And McDonald's is moving into the high schools and buying...
No, McDonald's, Joe...
You know, all
moving
that,
into the elementary schools.
Yeah.
Well, I fell in love with
our
your
kids
wonderful
how to eat
fish.
That, but, no, grains are really not necessary. Do you ever
not
notice
necessary.
How the food triangle is, the food pyramid is changing so much now? They don't have beef on there anymore.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's all poisonous.
Are you doing anything, Margaret, to get ready for what may happen in Y2K times?
I'm trying, and, oh, Lord, in Salt Lake it's difficult because of the heating and congestion and problems and so forth.
Mm-hmm. There are so many companies, though, headquartered in Salt Lake that do emergency food preparedness, such
but
as
you
my...
You call them, and they have these, I'll take you into the back room, and you'll talk to the agent.
No, you thing. Haven't talked to PermaPack. You need to...
Yeah, perfect. I have.
Well, I'd live out in the country, and I'd read a few books on early American history and see how people dealt with the environment before we had all of these gifts of civilization. And just consider that as an alternative to the way that we live now.
How difficult is it to buy property or rent property on the main island? Would
it difficult?
Be astronomically expensive to have a small house?
No, as a matter of fact, the economy generally over here is at a lull. And you can buy an acre south of me, 10 miles south of me, you can buy an acre for probably $3,000-$4,000, $5,000-$6,000. And then you can make a deal with a private owner. You could probably move in on an acre lot for $2,000 down or less. And work out a payment with the owner that's interested in selling.
What would you live in, Joe?
Well, you know, here, basically, you could put up a lean-to and buy yourself a generator, and I know many people who have done that.
So the county ordinances there are, you can do that.
Well, you know, who cares about that?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, unless you want to set up draw a bunch of plans and send them to the county commission, you can just put a lean-to up and a generator, and you don't have to worry about freezing to death.
Okay.
And a few trees.
All right, very good. We're going to pause and come right back with more. 1-888 on radio. My guest, Joseph Gill. Joseph, with all the hoaxes in the air these days, at least in the internet air, it's amazing to see what's going on. The media itself, dealing with Y2K, has just of late taken note of it. There is a, I won't say panic, but a rising tide of concern in the country. Who do you believe? Who do we really look to for leadership and guidance? There are a lot of people who are saying this is the pending collapse of Western civilization. There are others who say the interruptions will be minute. In the United States, 15% are expected to fail. That's handleable. We can do it. Other countries are going to have a far different road to travel. It's going to be difficult. So where does Joseph Gill see all this?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that because we're going into a new millennium that happens every 1,000 years, it's really probably the most dramatic sort of thing that's happening chronologically right now on our Earth? Do you think that's true?
I missed two or three words of your question.
Do you think that the fact that we're going into a new millennium on what's generally considered the Earth calendar, by most of the different groups of people around the world, the fact that we're going into a new 1,000-year period is the most dramatic thing that's happening right now? Do you think that's true?
I would look, no, of course not. I would look back 1,000 years or to see what parallels there were in organized society at that time facing a new millennium. I think what this is a grand opportunity for a lot of people to prosper.
Well, actually, it's a loaded question, because what I was aiming at is that approximately every 2,160 years, we have the end times. And right now, we're in the end times. This is the end time, and we're going into what's called Armageddon, which means change. Armageddon means change. So we're going from the time of Pisces to the age of Aquarius, or the water bearer.
The fish are on the way out.
The fish are on the way out. You know, the symbol of Jesus' followers was a fish, and you can see on the back of people's cars the fish. And that's the age of Pisces. And before that, there was the age of Taurus.
So you mean the cars 2,000 years ago used to have pictures of bulls on them?
Well, you know, it goes through the zodiac, and it's not just with our Western civilization. The world's religions are based on the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Yes.
So whether you're a Hindu or Buddhist or a Christian or a Mayan, or India, you know, basically they go through the 12 signs zodiac.
Well, this is the end times for the Pisces,
right?
Epic.
And that only happens approximately every 2,106 years, mm-hmm. as the Earth goes through the grand cycle. You know, the Sun goes through the grand cycle, and it's the way that it is affected by the different signs of the zodiac. So we have both of these things affecting us, the changing of the zodiacal sign, which, if you check through history, has been a momentous occasion, as well as a 1,000-year birthday for us all. So it's a big deal.
Well, we've got Y2K on top of that.
We've got Y2K.
Chemical, nuclear, and biological warfare threats on top of that.
We've done a great job of crashing our planet and basically, it's going to be a great change for us.
Look at the nuclear waste issue piling up at, I believe, at 75 nuclear power plants just in the United States, in 35 different states, over 40,000 tons of deadly radioactive spent fuel rod waste, and they have nowhere to put it yet.
Yeah, but I don't think that we should be burying that. I think what we should do is
transmuted.
We can use cold fusion to change the molecular structure of that and turn it into a harmless substance. And actually, one of the people at work, when cold fusion process was announced by the two scientists in Utah,
Pons and Fleischmann.
Right. The tests were tried to be duplicated at MIT, and one of the people that was working there, a PhD, has now started Cold Fusion magazine, and he speaks openly about how MIT did fix the test, because they were getting hundreds of millions of dollars for working with hot fusion. But cold fusion